This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Debbie Laux, and I'm from Solvang, California.
Oh, you're at the farm. I'm Jamie Jennings, and I am currently in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 15th, episode 2313, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Wow, does that remind you of the Maverick or what?
The Maverick Saloon, my home away from home. Just
yeah.
Don't say that. Don't tell anybody that.
Okay.
Well, coming up on today's show, we have Debbie Laux. She's co-hosting. Glenn is, I don't know where Glenn is. I can't keep up anymore. And then now we're going to talk to the Colorado Horse Rescue Network that was suggested by one of our listeners, Betty Faye, because I love to highlight an awesome rescue once a month. And I want you guys to tell me who they are because I can't. Y'all know better than me. So tell me who the good ones are and we'll highlight them. So that's coming up today. We're going to talk a little bit about Johnny Tivio. And if you don't know who Johnny Tivio, you're going to learn some more. And really bad ads. So here you go. This is what we're going to do. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Can you tell I had a little too much coffee?
Maybe, but you're just excited. Glenn's not here. That wasn't that funny to have my voice coming out. People must think, boy, that didn't sound like Glenn. What happened?
What's funny is I didn't know you were going to be here until we started this call. So it's like a special extra bonus. So thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. It's always fun. I love Fridays.
Well, we have got some daily winnies, I guess, coming on. Mm-hmm. And so let's see. You're going to go first. Here, go, Jen. Double one.
Double daily Winnie right there. That sounds like a bet. Hey, my first Winnie, my Winnie goes today to Jamie Jennings, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because it's rescue day. And also, all this work you've been doing, I was just watching AJ Daylight and thinking about the horses that you've had through your barn just lately and all that you're doing for Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation and these adorable horses that are not crazy and they're not useless and they're going to have a great life because you're getting a good foundation on them for their next life.
Wow, that's very sweet. I feel so confident in what I'm doing because of all the work that I did at your dad's place and with your dad. So it definitely helps to have that kind of confidence and being able to read the horse and seeing what we'll talk a little bit more about AJ and his history, because it's kind of interesting to see what people say and then what the horse tells you. They're always very different.
Exactly.
So we'll talk a little bit more about AJ coming up in just a minute.
Yeah. Now you're.
Well, I had this daily Winnie set out for, I thought Glenn's at Jemmy's place, right, Jen?
Yes, he is at Florida Podcasting Network headquarters in, South Florida.
Okay, well, see, there, I had a story, and I'm not clever enough to come up with something different, so I'm just going to do it now, because isn't she in Boynton Beach, Florida?
Yes.
So, there's a mattress store in Boynton Beach, Florida, and it's called Mattress Monsters. That's Monsters with a Z in Boynton Beach, Florida, and they had like some Halloween decorations set out because it's Mattress Monsters. But what they don't have as a Halloween decoration is a ginormous 8-foot, 300-pound statue of Bigfoot that lives at the Mattress Monsters just outside of it. And somebody stole it and they didn't notice for like weeks. Somebody stole it. Is it between the 6th and the 13th? But they didn't report the theft until October 20th because there were so many other Halloween decorations out. But this is a ginormous Bigfoot. I mean, it looks like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons, if you remember that movie.
Wait. Didn't we have a story a little while ago about somebody who had a giant horse sculpture in front of their business and they didn't notice for weeks on it? What is this, people?
Right? I'm glad you remembered that because I was trying. I was like, wasn't that a horse? Because I asked Glenn, I'm like, did I ever do the story about the Bigfoot from Boynton Beach? And he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, perfect. I'll save it till Friday when Jimmy's here. And Jimmy's like, here, so I'm going to do it anyway. So yes, what is up with people like walking into their store and not noticing like a ginormous piece of their heritage of their store is gone. Gone.
That's crazy.
That's because anyway, they never look up from their cell phone. That's why.
Oh my gosh, probably right. So there is no video surveillance of the theft. Obviously, it took more than one person to steal the statue. This is from the tweet from the police department. And so if you know who has it, contact Palm Beach County Crime Stoppers at 800-458-TIPS.
Maybe Glenn can go look.
If you see a ginormous, if you see Bigfoot going down the road in somebody's passenger seat so they can get in the
if
HOV
you see
lane.
Bigfoot in Boynton Beach.
The HOV lane.
Yeah. Could be hard to get around that. Exactly. Exactly. Well, hey, Debbie, we are going to talk to you in just a minute, the people from the Colorado Horse Rescue Network. Yeah. But I want to talk about first, real quick, what is coming up at Flag Is Up Farms?
Oh, you're sweet to ask. Thank you. Well, we've got, so Dad is over in Poland right now and he's doing a
that's weekend. My next, that's okay. Our
we
next
won't
ruin
that part
is
then.
Called Where is Monty? Where, because we never
a little
know.
Bit of a whack-a-mole popped up everywhere. But at the farm though, it's really fun. We've got, Thanksgiving is really pretty cool actually, because we're like an international bus stop because people from all over the world come, they don't have Thanksgiving for the most part. And so they think that's a great time to come to California and everything. And we get a lot of visitors through. So I remember meeting some future instructors, actually, like Joan Satori from Denmark. She brought her family here at Thanksgiving and ended up, you know, coming back and becoming an instructor. So that's always fun. The Thanksgiving weekend is really fun. People should go visit. It's a great way to work off your turkey. And then we have two courses coming up. We've got a join up and a long lining coming up. The 3-day modules. Those are the ones that lead up. They're part of the certification process if people want to apply them toward. And so that's half of the introductory course of horsemanship. So, and then we've got December 13, 14, and 15, we've got the Horse Sense and Healing, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever that is. And Horse Sense and Healing is for our veterans and first responders. And we're actually flying in Chris Morris, a certified instructor who's worked in the Horse Sense and Healing. We're flying him from the UK over to work with Dad and put on another Horse Sense and Healing, which I know you've attended. Good gosh, now how many?
Yeah, just a few. That's cool that he's coming in for that. It's probably good to get to see more people than just me. So good for you.
That too. But everybody is getting certified for that for the future. And so we're, exposing them, working with Dad, and that's how they get certified. They're already certified instructors, and this is, an additional certification on top of that. So that's part of the prerequisite.
Cool. Now, I like to play the game called Where is Monty? Mm-hmm. And so where is your dad right now?
Warsaw.
Mm-hmm. Warsaw, Poland. Mm-hmm. Have they done demos in Poland and clinics in Poland before?
It's been a few years. It's always about finding that perfect promoter. And we've got Magda Stanek, who is an advanced course student. Actually, she's just like going into her interning now. And she has said, like, dang it, we need to have Monty back over here. People keep asking. So there was a bit of a pent up demand. We sold out pretty darn fast on the Saturday. There's over 1,000 people coming on Saturday. And so we said, well, let's add Sunday. And you like to change it up a little bit. And she has like some TV stars coming to do a join up in the round pen, which is fun.
Wow.
Over TV and everything. Yeah. You know, it's crazy how horsey the Polish culture is. Not just, you know, it's not just those Polish Arabians. It's, they have the Western reigning, and they have, it's kind of like Italy. Have you heard, you know, how big the Western, well, it's actually happening in Germany and all over too, but Poland's just as big. It's just with the language barrier, you don't hear so much about it. You know, they have funny little letters and ways they put words together. You know, there's a little bit of a language barrier there, but they are pretty good at English. Actually, they watch a lot of English TV, I think.
Well, Magda was in my course, in my advanced course and my advanced exams.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. So then, I know who she is. That's great. She has a beautiful facility in Poland. Is that where they're holding the clinics?
No, it's actually at another building, but you know what? The clinics, actually, that's a good point. So they're going to have the big demonstrations that Dad does, you know, in a bigger building. But then she's got that beautiful place. And what's going to happen is at the event this weekend, Magda and Denise Heinlein are going to be offering a join-up course, a long-lining course, and then in the spring, an introductory course for the Polish people. So we don't just leave them there, you know, going, that was a cool demonstration. Now what? And, you know, they're going to pop up with, so it's pretty fun.
Again, my question for you, Debbie, is does Monty have a universal translator that travels everywhere with him, or does he have a translator for each and every country? Discuss.
Yeah, this poor person. Can you imagine applying for that job? What do you speak? Swahili? No. No. He doesn't have one person that knows all the languages. But generally speaking, our translators are really handpicked. And Magda is doing the translation here. We used to be all worried that people would think it's weird to hear a woman's voice translating a man's voice. But his voice has a nice slow cadence. So we get the person who knows the most about him to do the translation, you know? I mean, it does take two parts of your brain. I watch them think, and it does take some practice, you know, to do a quick translation. But he's pretty simple in his language. He tries to keep his cadence slow and his words simple. And there's two reasons for that. Imagine if he was very wordy and the horse is going through his transitions and he's describing what's going on in the round pen, and that poor translator was trying to keep up.
Okay, sounds good. Well, let's talk a little bit. What you want, do Johnny Tivio or AJ Daylight?
Oh, let's talk about AJ Daylight. I want to hear that first. I know that.
Well, AJ Daylight is the current horse that I have from Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation, and he's in training. So I can't really post all of his story on Facebook because there's people that, you know, you know what? This is why I tell people not, I don't tell people about my show, because I talk about you behind your back,
right,
in front of everybody. So AJ Daylight was adopted out and went to a barrel trainer. Was adopted into a barrel racing family, went to a trainer, and was almost immediately sent back because he was, and I'm using my finger quotes, crazy. Mm-hmm. He was crazy. Well, the first horse that they sent me was a horse named Kona, and they said he was very, you know, really unhandled, and you got to be really careful. I mean, they had me like gear up for when I used him in the clinic. I had the flak jacket on and my helmet for just the groundwork. And it's just amazing how if you do a join up proper, just how much more relaxed the horses become.
Exactly.
And how settled they become, because they all of a sudden understand that you're here with me and not against me, you know. It's just amazing what happens in the communication of the horse once they understand the round pen and we're here together. So Kona, as dangerous as he was supposed to be, ended up being one of the easiest things ever. And then I get this mare who everybody was scared of because she's 17 hands and she's 4 years old and she's a lot of horse. And oh my God, that ended up, I think, being the easiest horse I've ever worked around. I'm like, why can't I adopt horses like this?
Right.
Like, why do I adopt the Groots who are like really sends it. This mare was so happy to please, you know?
Yeah.
So then I get, and so she was only here a week. I was riding her around bareback, you know? So I sent her back and got this one. And so they sent me this one telling me that, you know, he is crazy. He's been labeled as crazy and he's difficult and he is.
Hello, this is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Hang out for a second.
Yeah. We'll get back to that. All right, Carrie. Hello. This is Jamie and Debbie and Jen, and you are live on Horses in the Morning, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely fantastic. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much. And we are one of your local Colorado people recommended that we talk to you about the Colorado Horse Rescue Network. And without knowing a ton about it and just trusting her, we want to hear about you guys.
Oh, well, I really appreciate it. We've got a pretty awesome group of followers, and I've been really humbled by all the awesome experiences that they have given us just by recommending us and telling people about us and spreading the good word about all the work we do.
And so tell us a little bit about what you guys do and who you are.
All right. So Colorado Horse Rescue Network is a nonprofit equine rescue. We assist all forms of horses, and we are statewide throughout the state of Colorado. We have a central facility near Rush, Colorado, and nobody knows where that is, but we're a little bit east of Colorado Springs, for anybody familiar with Colorado. And we assist approximately 200 horses a year in coming in through our program, doing rehabilitation, training, and rehoming. And we're very excited that our program is, by the end of the year, going to hit our 1,000th assisted horse.
Wow. 1,000 assisted horse. Now, I'm looking through your horses that are for adoption, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I need Dusty and Miss Twigs to come to my house.
Everybody needs Miss Twigs. If you don't have a Miss Twigs in your family, you need one because she's just the coolest pony ever.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute. And she's a Welsh pony cross, 25 years old, and just kid ready, man. There's a little kid riding her around in the pictures. That's fantastic.
My daughter. I was going to say, my daughter absolutely adores that horse. She will be very sad when that one gets adopted.
She's probably telling people, she's crazy. Don't take this one so she can keep it. Oh my gosh. Dusty is a little Shetland cross. He is the cutest thing I've ever seen either. So tell us, where do your horses come from?
So we work a lot here locally in Colorado. We get a lot of private owner surrenders. I'd say approximately half of our horses come as owner surrenders. We get some as transfers from other rescues. And then we are also pretty involved with our local law enforcement, and we assist them in cases where it's not criminal, but the owners just can't take care of their horses anymore, and they're given the option of surrendering their horses to the sheriff's department. So we do take in a lot of law enforcement horses as well.
Wow. I mean, this is, I think two things, you know. I think wonderful that you are there for people in their time of need. They have an older horse, and you know, there's a lot of people that don't want to take care of their senior horses or don't have the means or for whatever reason, don't find value in them anymore. What a wonderful thing for people to be able to take them to you. On the flip side, what a horrible thing to do to your horse. Like, you don't want it anymore because it's old. It makes me so sad. How do you handle that?
Well, we are kind of well known for being the rescue that takes in senior horses. And we've developed, you know, kind of a working relationship with dude ranches and with summer camps. And even some of the mounted police forces and stuff like that to take some of their senior horses. I'd say probably a third of everything that we adopt out is over the age of 20 to 22.
Awesome.
So we see a ton of seniors. We have what we call our old guy pen, and everybody in there gets, a pretty high amount of grain or mash. We have a lot of mash diet type horses. So we feed 250 pounds of grain a day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. So needless to say, our grain bill is outrageous every month, but I am the biggest softie for old horses. Old horses are my absolute favorite in the whole world. I have never been more touched by any horse than by the stories of these old horses that come to us. I'll get choked up just talking about it. Oh my God. So, when we get these old horses in, I'm surprised by how many of these people really do want to make a lifetime commitment to their horse. And life happens. We all know as horse owners, life happens. And holy cow, when these people have to surrender this horse they've had for 20 years because they simply can't care for it anymore or they have to move. We're a military heavy area. We've got a lot of military presence in Colorado Springs. So we see a lot of transfers and a lot of people that, you know, have to get moved across the country or out of the country. So many of the people that surrender these old horses really are devastated when we pick them up, and we all have a good cry together. And then we take their old guys into our organization. Every once in a while, it's a situation where we just can't afford it anymore, or we can't ride it, so we don't want it. And those people, you know, I'm as professional as I can be. And when I get home, I just give that horse an extra hug and say, "We love you. It's okay.
We'll find another." See, now you're gonna make me cry.
I know.
Yeah, don't cry. I'm a social crier.
We're all gonna cry together. Okay, so you do have a little bit of both. Then that makes me. What a tough thing, but what an awesome thing to be able to have to provide for these senior guys. I have a senior pasture as well, so I get it. This is amazing. So, what do you guys need from people that are listening that are interested in helping or interested in learning more?
So I always tell people, first go to our website, check it out. It's ColoradoHorseRescueNetwork.com, and just see all the opportunities we've got as far as adoption. We love foster homes. Foster homes make life so much easier for us because it gets a horse into a private situation where they're getting more one-on-one time. I'm taking care of approximately 60 or 65 head at home. So getting these horses into a situation where they're in a private facility where somebody can go out and brush them and handle them every day, these horses do beautifully in foster. So we love fosters. We are also headed straight into winter. And during the winter, all of us horse owners know we need more hay and horses eat more when it's cold. So we're going to end up going through the grain even faster. And because of some of our recent programs, we've had an open equine assistance weekend where we offered $100 for any horse, no questions asked. And
you
we got a ton of horses surrender to that. We don't buy them all, but at some events we offer buyouts where we want to keep them away from our sale barn. And we set up an event across the street from the sale barn and said, "We will give you $100, no questions asked. We have a brand inspector here. Bring your horse, sign it over." We had horses from all over the state come. We had one from out of state come. We had horses from the Air Force Academy brought in. I mean, we had horses from all over the place. So our numbers are much higher right now than they normally are. So, of course, every rescue needs good hard cash. Anybody that can donate the $5 you used to go buy a Starbucks, good luck buying a Starbucks for $5 anymore, I guess. But if you're willing to throw your coffee money for a day at us, man, I mean, that goes a long way to buying, you know, part of a bale of hay or a bag of grain.
Man, I am just so moved by the fact that you guys are doing so much to save those who, you know, what it comes down to is you have to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. And you guys are speaking for those who can't speak for themselves. And you're doing an awesome job. The website is ColoradoHorseRescueNetwork.com. You can check it out. You can see their happy tales. You can donate. You can go check out their buyout program, support, adopt, foster, all of that thing. I guess, again, and I do know, I did notice that you're taking care of a couple babies as well. Human form. We heard them on the voicemail.
Well, yeah. We've got one particularly precocious daughter.
And good luck with that.
Well, I'll tell you what, she has the message is a little older, but it was too cute to erase. But she has now started her own pony training business.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yep. She is breaking mini ponies for people. And I'll tell you what, that girl makes more money in a month than I do.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Well, being that I have Monty Roberts' daughter as my co-host, we have to tell you, we would prefer you to call it Starting Horses and not Breaking Horses.
Oh, good job, Jamie.
I get in trouble if I don't clarify that. Listen, hey, thank you so much. ColoradoHorseRescueNetwork.com. Thank you for coming on and talking to us about your program.
Oh, absolutely. I am glad to be here, and call back anytime. We would love to talk to you guys again.
Oh my God, you know what? I'm not that amazing. Far from you. I can come and get a pony or two. I have a 6-year-old son.
Oh, exactly. I'm just saying, I'm hauling horses 2-3 days a week. It would be nothing for me to just pop over to you and drop a pony off.
Oh my God, you are in trouble. I am in trouble. Christmas pony! Oh, fantastic. All right, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, gals. Take care.
Bye, Gary.
Bye, Carrie.
Bye.
Oh my God, I want to get one of these ponies for Lucas.
She's an enabler.
Great sight. She's an enabler, yeah. She has a beautiful sight. People should go to see that sight too. And I love how she's laid it out and everything. It's really nice. But you're right. There's broke through the whole thing. We got to do some of that.
Oh, I had to say it. I
so appreciate that. I think we should have like a little bumper music. Like I was thinking about this while she was, don't break my heart, my achy breaky heart. You know, don't say that anymore. Don't say
Don't break your horses. Train your horses.
That girl thing, you know, we should do like the, you know, you don't have to say anything. You just like hit that music for a second.
You know, it's so like regional though. You know, like they live in Colorado where it's very Western themed light, and it's what they've said forever, you know.
Yeah, it says halter broke, you know, kid broke, everything's broke.
Yeah.
Like dead broke. I love that one. That's
drunk broke. That was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, right.
That's when you can crack a beer and your horse gets you home.
Exactly. You sleep himself.
Oh my gosh. I think that Dusty needs to come to my house.
That was pretty cute. Pretty dark. That might be your daughter on Twist.
Was it? Oh, Miss Twigs. I need Miss Twigs too.
Cute. People go see.
While you ladies shop for puppies.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, hi, Jen.
Why don't we hear a little something from our title sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, right now.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Feeding your horse starch-laden grains can lead to colic, laminitis, and metabolic disease. Today, nutritionists are recommending the use of high-quality fat to provide healthy calories. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It's readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of starchy grains. Replacing grain with a high-quality fat supplement reduces a horse's risk of developing health problems. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. And best of all, horses fueled by Equijoule stay calmer and more focused on the job at hand. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
I'm thinking also maybe Moses.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Product.
Sorry. All right. Well, back to just telling you about AJ Daylight, then we'll get to Johnny Tivio. So I was told that he didn't load because when they adopted him out, he loaded great. And then they said it took over an hour to get him back on the trailer to bring him back to the rescue, which you just know. They already think he's crazy. They probably, who knows? You guys know what probably happened in the course of them trying to reload him to get him on the trailer. They're scared of him. They're nervous. Their adrenaline's high. The horse is like, no, I'm not going in there. So I go to get him, and he of course, won't load. And I let them at Horse and Hound just try with the grain. And then I'm like, okay, bring out the dually halter. And within 5 minutes, he got in the trailer. Well, it's you make it very easy for them when you have the dually halter. So he gets in and he comes home, and I kind of get it. Okay. He is he's a chestnut thoroughbred. He's very sensitive to movement, to light, to everything. But you know what? He's not crazy. I did a join up with him. He stands in the ramp and he wants a job. He wants to please. I've ridden him a couple times. As soon as you kind of help him find a rhythm at the trot, he's like, I got it. But his crazy comes out when he's in the stall. He weaves, he stall walks, he paws. He is generally very unhappy in a stall. Mm-hmm. Does that make him crazy?
No.
Or does that make him smart?
Smart and ambitious.
Yeah. It just frustrates me. It's so fun to get these horses in that have these labels on and try to figure out how they got that label. And, you know, they said he doesn't turn. Well, he's a racehorse. They don't know how to turn. He doesn't stop. He doesn't turn. He doesn't know how. Like a horse coming off the track knows somebody can be on their back, perched on their back with short stirrups.
Yeah.
And they go straight and fast. And then they get, I was an exercise rider. You have to pull them pretty hard to get them to stop. So there's no finesse. There's no teaching them what a bit means. There's no teaching them what legs mean. They've never had legs around them except for maybe when they're being started, you know? So I put them in the round pin and we get on them and you teach them how to turn with the long lining and then when you're on them, turn them and stop them and back them up and all of these things. And when you said day two, I took him out of the round pin. He's like, okay, got it. Once you got a rhythm, he was fine. Yeah. So just know when people label horses as this horse is crazy or this horse is stupid or this horse is this. Actually, number one, they're not crazy. They're probably pretty darn smart. Yep. It's your fault for not figuring out what's going on. Oh, that's just me being
not true.
It's bad. Bad Ads Friday. There's going to be a lot of labeling coming up.
And remember, we cannot you have to drop your soul at the door when you read really bad ads. Okay.
No, I'm with you on that too. The sensitivity, like a lot of people say crazy when it's energy and sensitivity, and the sensitive ones are usually the really smart ones. You know, those are the ones that are on survival mode and you cross them and do you use the top pole, the trained off pressure pole? Because these thoroughbreds don't have much pressure on their sides.
I haven't used the pole because one of the first things I do is I put their nose in the corner and the fence in the round pin, and I use my leg and I apply my leg and I wait for them to move their hips. So very quickly, I just do that in the saddle. But I do understand why it's important for a young racehorse to get trained off pressure, because they go into that starting stall or starting gate and sit down and lean against the pressure. But these guys, I teach them off the leg, but you don't do that with a racehorse.
Yeah, yeah. And the top pole too can be done before you ever put a saddle on, right? Yeah. You know, so a lot of that's the early training. I'm just wondering how you get that first initial thing, but you're right. No, that works perfectly.
Put their face in the rail, and I take my leg back and I put it on and I wait for them to step away, and then I rub them like crazy, and you do that to where they can pivot all the way around with their hind legs, and then you turn around, do the front end, put your leg on the girth, get them to move their shoulders. So you kind of individually teach them how to move. I call it programming buttons. Like I'm putting a button on the horse that says, go this way, go this way.
And as soon as they do it, take pressure off, reward. Yeah, happy making. Yeah, that's where you can put their energy in their brain to learn something instead of this. Yeah,
it's true. Engaging their brain is such an important part of training, as opposed to, you know, like this horse, AJ, I put him in the round pin and he just the first time just started galloping around and he was on the wrong lead, you know, cross cantering and all this. And you realize that somebody probably put him on a lunge line and they were going to wear him down. You know, you're going to wear him down. He's a racehorse. You're going to hurt him before you wear him down. So you always have to be mindful of what you're doing to your horse when you're trying to, like him, all he needs is a couple laps of a walk. And then we ask for a trot and then back to a walk and maybe a canter, you know, transitions, things to just engage their brain as opposed to wear out their body. Because again, you will hurt them before you will wear them out. That is most horses, I would say.
That's true. Oh, yeah. I mean, these guys, they have endurance too. They've been trained. They're, you know, yeah, good luck with that. No, the smart ones, which you seem to be getting some smart ones, which I'm really happy for you on too, because they're catching on quickly and your adrenaline is down and they're like biofeedback machines, right?
Yeah, I feel like the ones that we say aren't smart have been put in the hands of some not so awesome people, and they're probably extra smart. They remember everything that happened to them. You know, like they're like, "Oh, I'm not letting you do that because I remember what happened last time." Yeah. So, very quick, clever. But I feel like, one of the things I've thought forever is just don't lie to the horse. Don't lie to them. They'll trust you if you just don't lie. Just be upfront. And don't, you know what, I'm going to get you in there, but then you're going to get the pain, you know, or something like that. So
yeah,
don't lie.
I hate to ask you this. Yeah, exactly right. Do you worry about what hands they're going into after you've worked with them?
Forever. Yeah. I mean, selling horses is part of it's a really can be terrifying, but I feel like an educated horse has a better life than an uneducated horse. And if I can provide them with any sort of education, walk, trot, stop, turn around, back up, go, you know, things like that, then they're going to have a lot better life than they would if they didn't have an education. So while they're not mine, I definitely worry about it. That's why I have a pasture full of senior horses that I've sold and I get back because I worry about them. So yes, that's definitely part of it.
Nice.
It keeps me up.
You're right.
Now, so anyway, I'm chronicling the adventures. I think that I think in a couple of days I can pop him over some fences. I think he's going to be really fun. So he's definitely a go button horse where the other two were kind of laid back. He's like he's going to be a sports car. So watch for that. That's my goal with him. Now, I want to talk about a horse named Johnny Tivio. And if you've read any of Monty Roberts' books, you will know that Johnny Tivio was a world champion horse for Monty. And he kind of credits him with making, I think, a little bit of his career as far as the world champion aspect of his riding career. So give everybody an overview on who Johnny Tivio is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he was a bay stallion, foaled 1956, and if you watched him move, super athletic, little guy, he's like a little Spanish barb. He almost looks like he could have had a little Mustang in him because he comes from that Criollo, that Spanish breed. Just super athletic, smart, could do anything, could team rope on him, could cut cattle on him, could, you know, go down the trail, could everything. And his breeder was a guy by the name of Charlie Araujo, and he is still alive. If you just Google Johnny Tivio and his history, because he was just inducted in the NRCHA, the National Reined Cowhorse Association Hall of Fame. And he died on his 25th birthday, exactly. And
Johnny Tivio, not the train.
Johnny Tivio, sorry. Yes, he died on his 25th birthday, which was what was interesting about it is he's just one of those foundation stallions, Sire Pocotivio, Chowchilla Peewee, just a unique individual. And he just started achieving everything put in front of him. And he was eventually inducted into the Cowhorse Hall of Fame. And my mom and dad used to write, did all the admin part for the very first newsletters that they put out. I can remember in the 60s having one of those mimeograph things that you actually hand pumped, you know, newsletters out, and they typed it on a carbon. And then, you know, that would eventually run out as the association grows, you know, so you have to type two of those newsletters and send them out in the mail. And that was the building blocks of what was to become the National Reined Cowhorse Association, which is huge now. And in the midst of all that, it split. The association kind of split and got big. And Johnny Tivio was dropped off the Hall of Fame. And so it's taken years and quite a journey of stumping for this horse that achieved so much. He won multiple world championships, Hackamore. You could just change his bit and he just became a different horse in a different discipline and the best at it too. And we have some fabulous photos of him working cows and he became a sire of many, many champions. And actually my mom is showing some lineage of his called Black Design. We call him Blackie. And she's winning trophies and money and buckles and
Blackie's
everything.
Blackie's related to Johnny Tibbio?
That's all homebred. Goes all wow. back to Johnny and Julia. Julia's doll, her mare. And so, yeah, so crazy story. But so my mom was just down in Fort Worth, Texas, where they had the annual conference, and he was put back into the Hall of Fame. Yay!
Yay! And,
it is just a great story. And I'm proud of them for recognizing that there was a little slip in that, you know, association seam. And it took some stumping, believe it or not. But, you know, people forget, right? Generations go on and they kind of forget the greatness of the horse. But once they went and interviewed some of these guys that are still alive that had seen him in the show ring, they said, oops, yeah, that was a mistake. He should be in there. So really nice. My mom was able to go down there and take the award because Dad was traveling on demonstrating in Europe. So yeah, so he's back.
Very cool. What were some of the big accolades that besides being a champion sire, and I know he was really a champion Hackamore horse. I don't even pretend to know what that means, but what were some of the other things he was really good at?
Yeah. Working cow horse, reining horse, you know, he just did all the Western disciplines. He had a little bit of a tolt to him. Like I was saying, it's kind of, he looked like he could have had a little Mustango in there or, you know, Criollo. And, he had a little bit of feathers even, you know, there was just a little bit.
And he was technically a quarter horse.
Yep. Yeah, a foundation. Yeah, exactly. He is part of, what is it, P154? You know, if you go back to the original quarter horse foundation breeding, he is related back to the foundation horse.
So how did your dad acquire him?
Yeah, interesting story. Some part, it's not too nice, but there was a man by the name of Harry Rose who started him and won a lot on him. Didn't treat him like Dad wanted him to be treated, left him overnight in trailers, things like that, while he was out, you know, drinking. And that's wow. probably not a nice thing to say to somebody who can't defend himself now, but true story. When you lived it, there you go. It's true, right? And so he was able to go to one of his best buddies at the time, George Smith. George and Kathy Smith were great horse owners, loved their horses. And Dad said, you know, can we go in on partnership on this horse? And they bought him. And then that's where Dad just said, I mean, Dad wrote a book called Horses in My Life. It's about the horses that really, some of them have no names even, no name Mustang, mare. And each one of them, though, represented something that he learned that was pivotal in his life. Mm-hmm. And he saved Johnny Tibbio for the last book, the last chapter of that book, because he knew he would bawl his eyes out to write his story, because he taught him so much more than probably all the other horses combined in that book. And there's some great horses in that book, you know. So,
oh, so if you want to hear more, you can go get the book Horses in My Life. I haven't read that one. What am
I
doing?
Oh, my gosh, I'll get it for you. Yeah. But yeah.
See, I have an idea for a book, and I hope nobody steals this. I'm trademarking right now, everybody. It's called Horses I'll Meet in Heaven. And it's just like all the horses in your life who, you know, just really were something special to your soul kind of thing. So I think that I've never read that because I think it would make me cry too much. Like, it's like the horses all meet in heaven. It's kind of like that kind
That's
of book.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because horses are like that. They, each one of them has a special story that etches in your heart. And I think, you know, sometimes we think that was your little pony growing up, you know, that kind of thing is very personal to you. But I think actually when you read about somebody else's horse, there's the relatability in each one of those to all of us too. So yes, you should write that book.
Yeah, someday I'll figure out how I'll learn how to write a book.
Lucas grows up.
I'll have plenty of time. Hey, let's hear from, we've got a sponsor for Really Bad Ads. So we're going to hear about WinTech Saddles, and then we'll come back and do some really bad ads. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Coach Jen here, HRN Chaos Control Officer and host of the Horse Tip Daily Show here on Horse Radio Network. Longtime Horse Radio Network fans know that I'm a big fan of Wintec saddles. I've been riding in them for about 20 years now. Whether I'm eventing, showing in dressage, or fox hunting, or hitting the trail at an endurance competition, I know my saddle fits my horse, and it's going to hold up to the toughest conditions and look great doing it. You may be wondering exactly which saddle do I use for this varied group of disciplines? Well, Wintec makes saddles for every discipline. That's how. I have several. And Wintec doesn't sit on their laurels. 2019 brings even more innovation to the saddle range, so head out to your local tack store and have a sit in one. Or you can contact your favorite online retailer, arrange a test ride, or check them out online at wintecsaddles.us.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, we would like to thank all of our listeners for submitting these ads. We are, Producer Jen, do we have a prize that we know of?
We have a top secret prize being held in the top secret prize vault.
Do you know what that means, Debbie? That means we don't know what the prize is. I know. So it will be awesome. Don't you worry. So we've got prizes for those of you who submit these. Again, these are ads that people find on Craigslist or they find on Facebook or wherever you go to find stuff about horses that's for sale. And we read them just like they're written. And if they're regional, we try to recreate the regional dialect as well. Sadly. So
apologies in advance to everyone with a regional accent.
Oh yeah. No, I did blanket apology for my existence. All right. So the first one came from Aaron. Remember, these are not the writers. These are the people that submit them for prizes. And Okay, I see why. I'm like, I didn't get why this is funny until I see the ISO in search of 5-point breastplate, cob-sized, want to stay around $50. And I would love a cob-sized 5-point breastplate to stay around $50. And Erin, actually, this is her post. She put on Facebook. She's in search of it. And somebody posted boots. Here you go. You want these? And her response, no. Aaron, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, I'm looking for this. Do you want this? No. Not at all.
I want a cheese sandwich for dinner. Here, have some broccoli. No.
Yeah, here's some broccoli. Yeah. Here you go. I'm looking for a really well-trained 16-hand, really quiet kid's horse. Great. I've got a 3-year-old in the backyard nobody's ever touched. Perfect. No. All right. Now the next one is has been assigned to Debbie, and this is Lorene. And do you know where Lorene lives? She's in Brooklyn. So
oh, come on. I gotta do Brooklyn. 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 Let's see. Give me Brooklyn. Somebody give me Brooklyn.
I don't know.
And let's see. Is she really from Brooklyn? Do you see that?
Lorene is, but the ad's not. So
you may okay, you know. All right. Sorry. Free mayor. No, that's...
No, just do it, Debbie. I think
just do it, Debbie.
Thank you. Millwood. Free mayor. Rome mayor. Roma mayor. Not a typo, people. We wandered into our yard about a month ago, and despite our hanging posters on every foam pole within 2-mile radius, nobody has claimed her. She's gentle. So she's not a roan mare. She's a roan mare. You get it? She's gentle, approximately 16 years old. Oh, and she is roan.
Roan mare, not a typo. Yeah. Oh, by the way, she is roan. That's great. Yeah,
she is roan.
Hey, free horse.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. She's just, yeah, she's probably chill. She's hanging out in the yard.
Hard to find a free horse around here. Solid white gelding, and this is in Fairburn, and this came from Jess. Solid white gelding in Fairburn. this is all capital letters, by the way. I have a solid white gelding for sale or trade, comma. Awesome guy. And will make a great trick horse. I have had him lay down for me and he will shake his head. He is green broke. He does not kick or bite. He is a little jumpy with new people. Also will trade for hay.
It's like a little tiny type down there. She made the font small, right?
Don't tell anybody, but I'll trade it for hay.
Oh, thanks, Jess. Pretty cute. And this one is from Claire Austin.
We don't do last names. It's too embarrassing.
Oh, Claire A. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And that actually could be said badly anyway, so I'm not going to go there. Okay, so we got sideways photos. Cute little face here. Description. Smokey is a 5-year-old gelding. He is a slow horse to ride. Is that a good thing? Lots of trail riding on him, roped off of a couple of times, but he has proven to be unpredictable when riding, bucking in parentheses. I got no need for unpredictable horses, so 500 takes him.
I'll take him.
Yeah. Somebody take Smokey. He's probably predictable.
No soul. I don't need no unpredictable. I got no need.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I'll take him. Jeff sent this one in.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. What am I looking at?
Mm-hmm.
It's our trailer of the week, people. I think. I'm not sure. This may be some sort of tiger cage, but I'm again, positive. This is trailer free to good home. That's the right price, I guess.
Yeah.
Was on property when we moved in. Put a new tarp on it so at least it's out of the rain.
It did.
Tires are round. No guarantee they will remain so when you move the trailer. Free to a responsible person who will give it the care and respect it deserves. Is this thing alive?
Yeah. It deserves respect.
It's old and neglected, but I think it still has some love to give as a critter coop or kitschy yard ornament.
Kitschy. Yeah, that's a really kitschy yard ornament. It's serious inquiry sale. They do love this trailer.
They do love it. It's garbage.
They put a new thing on top of it.
Just because it's old doesn't mean it doesn't deserve respect. Didn't we go over that earlier in the show?
Oh, my God. Are you going to take this trailer for free, Jen?
Oh, I so would.
You better be serious if you inquire, because serious inquires only.
They'll probably check my records to see if I take my vehicles to get their oil changed regularly.
Oh, my God. Jen, this is in Florida, number one. And number two, I think this would be an awesome Christmas gift for your husband. Absolutely. He's not here.
Absolutely.
With a tiger in it, maybe.
Hey, one man's junk is another man's kitschy yard ornament.
Oh, my God. Stop defending. Is this your trailer? Did you write this ad?
Oh, I just got
to get rid of it.
She's like, just don't make fun of them because they wanted to have the love and respect it deserves. I'm like, oh, my God, this is you. You wrote this, didn't you? It's in Florida. This is totally you.
It's neglected. You know, the horses in this port, most of these ads are not considered neglected. But this thing, it's neglected.
I know, right? All of a sudden, we have a soul for a trailer? Judy sent the next one in. What a beautiful picture.
What a photo. There we go. Okay, so I should describe the photo a little bit. There is a guy that is barely hanging on his little shorts. And does he have boots on? I'm not quite sure there. I should have glasses on. This horse is nearly over the top at this point. He's got, thank God, he's just got little short reins on there. But that saddle might not, I don't know if he's going to be able to hang
on. A rearing horse that is legit about to flip over. I mean, it's like teetering on the edge.
Like, I wouldn't want to be in his position. And he's not wearing a helmet. He's got a little cap on, t-shirt, and shorts. And it says, horse, $300 from Pleasant Lake, wherever that is. This is Misty, green, broke, Palomino, no. Not even Palomino. Mm-mm. She's very tall and a beautiful horse. We can't tell. She's very tall in this photo because she's about to go over backwards.
She's rearing straight up.
Very tall. And we just don't have the time for her anymore. I don't know if this guy's ever.
You know why they don't have time for her anymore, Debbie? It's because the guy who rode her died.
Oh, yeah.
when she flipped over. sorry.
Right.
We don't have time for it.
And I hope he's photoshopped into that because that's going to be a key rash.
You know, on TV commercials for cars now, they always have that tiny print across the bottom of the screen that says, professional drivers on a closed course do not attempt.
Yes.
That's what it needs to say across the bottom of this.
Right.
But it's not even the horse in the ad. That's what's weird is like, it's not a Palomino at all. This is a chestnut in the picture that's rearing up. And is that supposed to be an impressive picture? Are we supposed to be impressed by that?
Not sure.
I think we're saying that, you know, they're going to get better at this because they're just green broke at this right now. They're going to get better at flipping over.
And the horse is, by the way, standing in a field of weeds that are up to, if it was standing up, it would be up past its belly. So it probably just saw a snake. Looks like it's going, snake!
It does. It's friendly. So it's going to hang it down.
Linda sent this one in and it's for sale semicolon must go exclamation point dash dollar sign 1500 in Macy parentheses. Okay. American. This is just an, I could just tell from the title. This is the over punctuation ad of the day. American saddlebred gelding period. Pain dash in dash the dash butt.
No exclamation, though.
I cannot handle him, period. Bucks, period. Runs off, period. Must go, period.
Space,
now,
space, space.
Period.
Space, space, space.
Space, space, space. Now, we'll trade. This is, again, I want to call him and see if anybody called. We'll trade for an old boring horse of similar size and shape.
I want this one, but I want it dead. Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. Good luck. You know what? Oops. This is what happens is I've got like a really well-trained, super safe horse in my barn, Debbie, and I was thinking I would like to trade it. Just even Steven trade for something that's really well trained.
Yeah.
For something that bucks, like trade my really well trained horse for something that will flip over on me. I think it's time.
Yeah. Somebody's probably going to even pay that. I mean, $1,500.
Oh man. That's a heck of a deal.
Yeah. So Rachel sends in this next one looking for a horse trainer from Las Vegas. It's in the farm and garden by owner section here. Looking for horse trainer. Looking for all caps experienced cowboy to put about 10 to 20 rides on my horse. Horse is stubborn, green broke, and smart. Big egos. What is that?
BSers.
BSers. And the weak. Very good. Never seen that. Big egos. BSers and the weak, all caps, need not apply.
Yeah, you gonna get that horse. You gonna get him good and broke.
Yeah, it's green broke.
Rides. God. Okay.
Stubborn and smart.
No soul. No soul. No soul.
No soul.
Yeah.
What, Jen?
I said no soul. No.
No soul. Mary sent this one in, and this is called Trade Cow for Horse, $1 in Youngstown. Mm-hmm. Yay. I'm going to trade my cow for a horse. I have a nice, fat, paint mare that's rideable. Very well-mannered, approximately 10 years old. I want a cow. I'll trade straight up. Any cow will do. That's the ad.
That's the ad. I'm getting into something new. I'm going to go into something.
I feel like if you could trade the above that horse for one of the horses in the above ad and then trade that horse for a cow, it'd be
better.
That's
a good idea.
Like, let's unite everybody.
I'll introduce them all, except for that trader. Yeah. Okay. So
Scott. All right. Scott sent this one in and he recorded it. And Scott is one of our favorites to listen to. Let's take a listen to Scott.
Hey, this is Scott in Virginia. This isn't exactly an ad, sort of for farriery, but it's an article by a farrier, Eagle Ridge Equine Farrier Service, that I just wanted to read to y'all. It says, I was at the university a few days ago, working on a draft horse who came out of sedation just long enough to kick me through a stall door, so I'm taking today off to both feel sorry for myself and to draft out my experiences as a moving target. Horse Kicks 101. Even when you work on very well-trained and gentle horses, getting kicked is somewhat of an occupational hazard as a farrier. Sometimes it's out of fear or pain, sometimes it's by mistake, and on occasion, even good horses have bad days. Whatever the reason, the resulting world of hurt for us, comparatively soft and squishy monkeys, is the same. However, just how badly one is injured can depend a lot on the conviction and breed of the offending, or offended, critter. The breed voted most likely to knock you across the aisleway in high school would be the American Thoroughbred. Like most things in Europe, the European Thoroughbreds seem to have a more level head about them. Much like myself, the American TB, especially the on-track racehorse, is a rather high-strung critter whose environment has made them prone to both panicked flight and personal injury. When they kick, it's powerful, wildly unpredictable, but accurate, and they always followed by the snapping of the cross ties as they gallop to perceived safety, screaming, I'm a racehorse, I'm a racehorse, as they disappear down the driveway. Next on the list of crazies is the Arabian horse, especially the Egyptians. It's my theory that their small dished heads compress their brains, making them prone to hallucinations. The larger the dish, the more likely they are to mistake a blowing leaf for a horse-eating dragon. When they kick, it's completely unpredictable, light, but deadly fast. The Arab will also gallop to safety, but that's likely 50 or more miles away. Also, one should be aware that when the leaf monster presents itself, the Arabian has the ability to teleport its way to safety. The American quarter horse is the Labrador of the equine industry. They are cool-tempered and unexcitable. Snakes, rogue cows, or even that mounted migrant worker commonly known as a cowboy shooting off their backs rarely gets them to raise more than an eyebrow. If you do manage to get kicked by one of these guys, you, or someone they felt very strongly about, likely deserved it. Unlike Arabs or thoroughbreds, when they kick something, they meant to do it. While they might not be as fast as their caffeinated cousins, their blows come down with the accuracy and might of Thor's hammer. They always accompany their mighty blows with an inquisitive yet judgmental expression to suggest, did you learn something today? Draft horses are best described as gentle giants. They are kind, forgiving, and dumb as a box of rocks. If you were unlucky enough to be walloped by one of these tanks, it's likely because they forgot you were there. What the draft horse lacks in conviction, they make up for in brute force. Accuracy and speed don't really matter that much when dropping nuclear warheads. Ponies. I'm convinced that the four horsemen of the apocalypse will be charging in on the burning fury of pony hooves. It really doesn't matter what you did or didn't do. Ponies will kick simply because they can. They're a weapon of equal opportunity. What they lack in brute force, they make up for in quantity. So much quantity. Donkeys and mules are not horses, and they will be sure to remind you of that fact should you forget. They are even-tempered, but unforgiving. It doesn't take a very big donkey to carry a grudge. When they feel you are deserving of capital punishment, they have no qualms about dishing it out. They are the ninja snipers of the equine world. One shot, one kill is the donkey's motto. If one of hell's own minions fires a shot at you and misses, it was only a warning. When they strike, their hooves rip the very fabric of time and space to arrive faster than the speed of light. Please understand that not every Arabian is crazy and not every draft horse is dumb. These are lighthearted stereotypes that come from my personal observations and experiences gathered over my 12 years standing behind the anvil. I know they will not be true of every horse. Carry on.
Little disclaimer at the end.
I'm going to have to play that again.
That is pretty cute. That's pretty cute.
Great. Yeah, I read that and I was like, dang. That dude is sitting down feeling sorry for himself.
Yeah. He's hurting.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, farriers are amazing.
Debbie, what's coming up for you? But what do you have anything fun planned this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. This weekend, we are, we're doing a little bit of traveling. You know, I just got to go to the Circle D Ranch, which is over in Norco, California. You've been there before. And Circle D is where Disneyland moved all their big old working horses, their big old draft horses, you know, that pull like the, you know,
the carts through Disney.
Yeah. What are those?
The trolley.
Yeah. Main Street Trolley. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yeah. And so they, you know, they put in a new area there. So a couple years ago, they said, do you want to like squish down? And they went like, no, how do you squish a draft horse anywhere in this property? And so they bought 5 acres off site from Disneyland and they put it in Norco because Norco's flat as a pancake and it's the horse town, you know, it's nothing but cows and horses out there really in every lot. And they did such a great job in putting a facility together for these big horses. Everything's scaled big. They've got a desensitizing room, all the equipment in there that they use to teach all these horses, all the things they need to, you know, survive at Disneyland. And they've got signs up. This is the happiest horses on earth. It's just so cute. And I met with Erin, who's the, you know, kind of the equestrian manager there. And she's got like an army of 20 something girls who just think it's the best job ever that they get to work with all these horses. And so we're going to get a little interview going with them and I'm going to have that on Horsemanship Radio.
Very cool. Very fun. That is, Jen, didn't you and Glenn go to, we went to the California Disney horse area, but it was before they moved it to Norco, right?
Before they moved, it was still adjacent to the park at that point. And it was a nice facility, but it was kind of crammed between the warehouse sized buildings. If you remember correctly, this is really nice because it's really purpose built. Yeah. I'm excited to hear that interview.
Yeah, they've really done a great job and it's so much fun because they, you know, they built everything to scale. Plus they've got the footing out there is really good and they can train to the carriages that, you know, they've got a carriage barn, you know, that has all the cute little carriages, the little vis-a-vis and all the way up to pretty big. They don't have the trolleys over there, but yeah, they're really cool. And you want to hear a fun fact is somebody said, when we're in this desensitizing room, is what happens? How do you train them when the fireworks go off? Because I can hear it from my house in Newport Beach, which is away from Anaheim, right? And so they said, oh, no, easy peasy. That's when the old guys, the guys that are experienced horses, go to sleep. They know that's their nap time. And so nap time, because everything stops when the fireworks goes off, right? So no carriages are moving, nothing's moving. So they know that they can nap. And so they put the young guys in between the old guys. And as soon as the fireworks go off, the old guys go to sleep. And the young ones look around and go, oh, I guess no big deal.
Oh my gosh, and that's awesome.
Isn't that a great idea? It's so cute. It's just stuff like that. It's just so much fun. So much fun. Hey, I've got an equine facility management course coming up at Flag too. I didn't say that. I should say that because CHA is one of our hosts here on the Horse Radio Network. And Christy Landwehr is going to be teaching it. And that's the end of January 24, 25, 26, I think. And you get certified to be an equine facilities manager. So I wanted to get that in. Thank you for letting me get a commercial in there too. I can't wait to see Christy. That we did it last year. We're going to make this an annual thing.
Yeah, we did it the same time as the horse and healing. So I was teaching the horse and healing while you were teaching or while they were doing that and Christy was involved. That was really fun.
It was really fun. And it was fun for them to be able to see the horses and healing too. Yeah. And then we have Amy Edwards as the other instructor or certifier in there. And she just made Volunteer of the Year award for CHA. So Certified Horsemanship Association. So yeah, I'm really excited about that too. So lots of good stuff coming up.
Fantastic. Well, Jen, you do anything fun with your pony this weekend?
Last weekend we went cross country schooling. So this weekend I think we will be probably staying a little closer to home. And doing something a little quieter. Yeah, I think we might stay home and quiet around the neighborhood this time around.
Sounds like a plan. Well, you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in. And thank you, Debbie, for getting up super early and being a part of the show. And I know your dad's gone, but give your mama a hug for us. And thank you for filling in.
It was fun. Thanks, gals. Thanks for inviting.
Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Have a good one.